I have to start off just by saying the order of the service tonight, like, I almost didn't preach what I was going to preach tonight. Sometimes when I come up to preach, I'll have a couple of things that I, one's like, I know this sounds crazy, but sometimes I'll have a couple of things that, hey, the Lord's given me, and the message I'm going to preach tonight, I wasn't going to until Mr. Foster's testimony. God, it's amazing how God gives you confirmation of some things. I really mean that. I want to start off by saying, I believe that God is going to do something big in First Baptist Church of Rosemont. I really mean that. The reason why I believe that is this. I just have seen the growth of our school under Mr. Kane's leadership, which, thank you for your leadership in the school. It's amazing. But even in our church, people joining. Have you noticed there's been young people joining and coming in? Have you noticed that? There's been just some things have been really great. But I will tell you, that also scares me. Because the devil is real. Am I right? Tonight I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to preach. And I'm going to preach because I think it's vitally important that we heed to some things. And we get the right focus. My last message that I preached here in church, I talked about when there is no king. And I talked about some of the things that are going on in our world. And I will hit some of that. But I want us to really get our focus on doing the will of God because, honestly, our time truly is short. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll look at several verses tonight here. But I want to give you something that will help you in these perilous times that we live in. I actually entitled this message, What to Make of the Church in Perilous Times. And I want to give you just some practical things that we as a church can do to help us handle the craziness of the world that we are in. Let's look at verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 7, then we'll jump to verses 10 through 15. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. I want you to think about that, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Verse 6, For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And let's jump down to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I want us to take a look back here at our first couple of verses that we read, and it gives a list of some of the things that are signs of the times. You know, Pastor Clear has been preaching in the book of Revelation about the end times on Wednesday nights. But I want you to really take a look here at some of the things that are on the list of these things that are the signs of the day we're living in. One of the first things you see is mentioned right here in verse 2. It says, For men shall be lovers of themselves. I want to stop there just for a minute and say, we've got a bunch of things that are going on not only outside of these walls, but also even in our churches amongst Christianity in general, where we have people who are, if you will, living and loving themselves, not seeing the need for others. Would you agree with that? Can you see that in our world? Not a genuine love for each other. In addition, we have people that are covetous. It's about them. The Bible says we have boasters, people who lift themselves up. We have the proud, blasphemers. How about this? Disobedient to parents. I just want to stop there for a minute and even get you to think. In our own churches, we have young people who could care less what their parents think. Can I tell you, when I was growing up, I cared what my parents thought. I really did. I had a care for, because I realized, for example, I told you before, but I appreciated my mom working hard to let me come to a Christian school. I knew she didn't have very much money, but I appreciate her. And so when she spoke, I tried to listen. Now, I'm not saying I was a perfect kid and I listened to everything, but I will tell you, I had a healthy fear of my mother. I think we live in a generation now where we have kids who they'll just spout off to their mom, slamming doors. Mom, I hate you. Dad, I'm tired of you. Boom, and that's in the Christian homes. In my house, if I would have did that, there would have been a fist through that door. It would have been my mom coming after me like a horror movie, you know. But that's the world we live in. Disobedient to parents. How about unthankful? You see this a lot, you know. Well, I don't like this. This food is gross, right? Or, why did you send me to this school? Or, God, how come you didn't give me what that person has? Unthankful. Isn't it crazy? We live in a world with many comforts, and yet we are still not thankful. We live in the United States. Hello? And we're still not thankful. It's crazy. Unholy. We have unholiness going on in the church. There is a famous lady pastor. Her name's Paula White. Any of you ever heard of her, Paula White? She actually is the pastor of President Donald Trump. And I watched a service of theirs one time, because I was just curious. I've heard of her. I've seen her. She has a mega church in Florida. But I wanted to watch the service. And I couldn't believe this. Her husband is a former member of a group called Journey. Any of you ever heard of that group? They're from the, I think, 70s, 80s. Pastor Borner, is that, you listened to them back in the day, right? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, okay. But this group, they sing the song, Don't Stop Believing. You ever heard that song? Okay. All right, let's stand and sing. Oh, no. Bless God, this is a place of holiness. No. But literally, her husband goes to the piano, and he starts testifying. And he says, the Lord gave me a song a long time ago. And he starts playing, you know. And you know, there's times in our lives where we just get down. And we lose hope. But I just want to tell you, don't stop believing. And he begins to sing this rock song from the 70s and 80s. And I watched as the pastor and the church had their hands. You can find it on YouTube. It's out there. They're singing, don't stop believing. You've heard that song before? They play it after games, after when? They're singing that in a church. Unholy. That ought not ever to be sung in church. We should not be singing rap songs or rock songs or R&B songs in church. It doesn't belong here. It's unholy. But can I tell you? Many Christians, they will run to a place. They will listen to things, watch things, because we use what I would say key words. If the song has faith, grace, love, patience in it. Oh, it must be about Jesus. You mean to tell me a 70s, 80s rock song is about Jesus? It's not.
It's not.
Lacking natural affection. Kind of goes along with being covetous, not really caring about people. The Bible says that if we're of Christ, we'll love the brethren, right? What does love the brethren mean? It means I outwardly show them that I love them. But even in the world, it's not really love for people. Know how I know that? The riots that just happened in Minneapolis. Think there was much love going on? Trampling over people to get free stuff? Burning buildings? I think it was Brother Saw. I had a cousin who had just started a business. He had come from Liberia, and he just opened this business. And a couple of days later, they burnt his business down without any care. Not really caring about people. Truce breakers, false accusers. We have those in the church. Accusing people of stuff that they're not doing, this and that. Nuts. We have it in our world. We see it in politics even. We have incontinent or lacking self-control, the Bible talks about. Not able to yield themselves to the Spirit, it seems, just doing whatever they want to do. Fierce. Despisers of those doing good. Can I tell you? I work in a Christian school, and I'm telling you, there are kids who despise other kids for doing good. I've said this many times before. One of the verses that scares me in the Bible is the verse that says, many will say in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy and cast out devils in thy name and do wondrous things in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting darkness. I'm telling you, church, we have pretenders in Christianity. Fakes. Some in this very room. But you don't understand, Brother Sean, my mommy and my daddy take me to church. You might be fake. It's tough. There used to be a day when we could endure tough preaching. We could endure the Bible. Hey, this isn't just telling you that God loves you, although he does. Sometimes we need to hear some preaching that hits us right in the heart and tells us what we really need to hear. There used to be a day when we endure sound doctrine. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than God. We see that in our world, right? We see it in our churches. Well, if it makes me feel good, it must be okay. I'd be careful about that. Or even a false love of God. Can I just say this? If we love God, the Bible says we'll keep his commandments. If we love God, we'll do what he knows he's told us to do. We got fake love for God, I think, out there. A lot of it. To be quite honest, how can you love God if you go to church 2 times a year? Is that really love for God? I don't think it is. And I don't believe God thinks it is. Having a form of godliness. In other words, it's kind of a counterfeit. And by the way, I say this. Do you understand, people? The devil is, he is, when he's just trying to deceive you, he doesn't tell you, like, outright lies. At all. He makes it look so close that it's hard to discern what it is. And that's why we see a lot of people fall to the wayside, because they can't discern. And as I said before, just because they're a church doesn't mean they're teaching the truth. Do you understand this? There are people in the church who are also deceived. Do you understand this? There are, the devil, if he, I'm telling you, if Satan walked in right now, he would be an angel of light and we'd probably think he was Christ. Something to think about there. So I think we've established we live in a crazy world. I think we've established that we've got a bunch of things that could potentially destroy our church. As I said, Mr. Foster mentioned about our church having potential. I say this because I believe the church has potential, but we need to be aware of what's going on out there, and we need to keep that stuff out of our church. And I want to give you just a couple of thoughts here tonight to help us manage as a church in the perilous times. Number one, Paul told Timothy to remember that the gospel, if you will, was a spiritual net that would catch good and bad fish. It will entrap both good and bad, so do not think it is unusual to have corrupt people within the body of Christ. Why don't we take our Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we'll look at verses 47 through 48. Matthew 22, 47 through 48. That's the wrong verse. It's not the worst verse I want. I'm looking at chapter 24. Let me double check that. That's not the verse either, but I know what I want to say. That's why I wasn't going to preach this, you know. But basically, Jesus says, have not I chosen 12 of you, and one of you is the devil? Have you ever thought, how could a man walk so close to Christ? Judas saw the miracles. Like, think about that. He saw the blind people healed. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. He was there. He was handling the money, so he must have been trustworthy. Think about that. He wasn't just some slacker. He was there. He saw all these things. Can I just tell you this? You shouldn't give up. And I want you to think about this. Just because we have bad seeds, if you will, it shouldn't give you a reason to give up on church or religion, if you will. I want you to think about this for a minute. Yeah, we live in perilous times. We have good and bad that come into our church. And a lot of times, we get caught up, instead of protecting the church and trying to reach more people, bring people to do all those things that we know we should do, sometimes we get caught up in trying to decide who's fake and who's not and who's this and who's that. We see that with a lot of the young people. How many young people leave church because of this? Well, there's hypocrites in the church. Yes, there is. But you should understand that because Jesus gives a great parable about that. Talks about the wheat and the tares, right? And what does he say with the wheat and the tares? He says, let them grow up together. Why? Because if you're too busy trying to find all the tares and that, you're probably going to hurt a bunch of people. You let them grow up and let the Lord of the harvest settle it. But the devil will use that type of stuff in the church to destroy a church. Our church is poised to do something great. We've done things great in the past that are great. But let's not get caught up in trying to figure out who the wheat and tares are. We got to know they exist because they do. But don't let it affect your Christianity where you decide, young people, hear what I'm saying especially? Don't let it affect your Christianity because you see some flaw in somebody and you go and leave. Because guess what? You're going to go to another church and there's going to be flaws in those people. And then you'll go to another church and there'll be flaws in those people. And then you'll go to another church and there'll be flaws in those people. And eventually you'll become like a lot of people, well, I'm just going to stay home and have church. The devil just won. And what did you prove? Like, I really mean it. When we leave church, what are you proving? The typical things we hear, everyone's judgments, or everyone's this or that. Okay, are you at church for the people in the pew? Or are you at church because of that guy? Because of Jesus Christ, the one who died for you? Am I right? Number two, despite how bad others are, Apostle Paul reminds Timothy how good he should be, and subsequently how good you and I should be. And this is why our spiritual integrity should be higher. And I want you to remember this. People who live different make a difference. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Apostle Paul says, basically, but you've known the way. You've known the right things. You've been taught the right things. Continue in those things that you know. In other words, you don't have time to get caught up in all the bad that's in others. You just don't have time for it. You just got to focus on continuing the things that God has shown you. Because guess what? Our church will be torn apart if we're too busy, once again, focusing on all the bad and this and that. No, we got to look at the great things that God has done. And can I just tell you, First Baptist Church, God has done great things in this place. And he will continue to do it if we'll have the right focus. Let's get busy thinking about the right things, not worrying about all the bad things, if you will, or the thing about this person, that person. If you notice when I've preached, many times I'll preach themes on purpose because I want our church to really get focused. Hey, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, so let's get busy doing what we know we should do. And then finally, if we're going to be a church that survives these perilous times, we must be rooted and grounded in doctrine. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll look back here at verses 10 through 12. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but of them, of all, the Lord delivered me. But that first part says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. The reason why I believe a lot of people are going to be deceived in the end times here is because they don't know doctrine. They don't understand it. And I want to say something very pointed. As believers, we need to be teaching young people doctrine, not just do this, do that. Doctrine, sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? It's things like this. The doctrine of salvation. Every one of these kids in our church should understand this, and every one of us should understand this. Salvation is wrought only by the death of Jesus Christ, and not by works, period. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's a doctrine that all of us need to know. That's important. How about the doctrine of baptism? This is not a prerequisite to be saved, but it is something that happens after a believer is saved. It's saying, basically, I'm identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Every one of our people should know that. They should know that we believe in the authority of the Scripture. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says this about the Scriptures. It said it's profitable for correcting, rebuke, training in righteousness, and that it helps equip us to every good work. We need to start teaching our people, our young people at a young age. Sometimes the Bible will correct you, but not correct you to hurt you. So that means when we have hard preaching or somebody says something, but it's in the Bible, they can take it because they know God is saying this because he loves you, not because he's trying to make you just do something. Because aren't there some hard things in the Bible? Aren't there some hard sayings? There's some things that are tough to take, but we got to preach it and teach it, and they got to hear it. Sometimes that means rebuking. Can I just say this to you? If you go to another church, that's fine. But if your church never has any preaching from the word that rebukes you, I'd run from that church as fast as I could. There has to be rebuking. There has to be. Apostle Paul rebuked Peter. The Bible says he said, I withstood Peter to the face, right? And talked to him about how he was dealing with the Gentiles. Sometimes preaching has to rebuke. But once again, rebuking, no one should ever preach the word just to go off on some tirade or for some show. But sometimes we have to rebuke because we're doing it because we want to help people to understand the seriousness of, hey, don't fall into that sin. Don't do that. Might I even say this? It's a side note once again, but I'm telling you young people this. It's for the old people too, but young people. I grew up hearing some hard preaching sometimes. Whew. Some hard preaching. And they might not have said it the way I would have said it. But can I tell you? Some of that hard preaching kept me away from doing some things I shouldn't. And can I just tell you something else? Do you know why sometimes you have guys that come across a platform and they preach, they're spitting, hollering, this and that? Well, the Bible does say once in a while you got to lift your voice up like a trumpet and you got to preach some things. But also, when you deal with all the stuff that's going on out there, yeah, I've seen some bad stuff. So that is in me, and I want to be passionate about what I'm preaching. I want to say, hey, young people or old people, don't go this way because here's the pitfall. Don't take that as somebody's just trying to go off on you. No, somebody's trying to warn you. We believe that the Bible is training us in righteousness. The Bible, every person needs to understand the Bible's meant to help you become more righteous, more like Christ. That's a painful process because we're not naturally righteous. Am I right? It's a painful process. You know, when I stopped listening to rap music and R&B and some of the stuff I listened to, that was a painful process. I'm telling you, like I said before, you guys do not understand some of you how hard that is going from that to Ron Hamilton. I'm not used to that. I wasn't used to that. You follow what I'm saying? Ahoy, mates. What? You know. It's different. But it was a necessary process and it was great. I'm glad I did it. And for some people, that takes longer than others. But it is a process that has to happen. And then, of course, it helps us to equip us to every good work. The reason why we come to church, the reason why we read our Bibles and pray is so that, number one, we can obviously tell people about Jesus, but also we do all those things to help prepare us for heaven and help give us a little bit of heaven on earth. So when you're hearing the preaching and the teaching, you need to understand we're doing it because of what's outside of these walls, but also what's inside, but primarily what's outside. And so that hard preaching, the hard teaching, the things that you're hearing, don't take it as this horrible thing. No, it's people that are trying to watch for your souls and help you out, no matter what our age is. And we need to hear the word sometimes, and it needs to pierce us and hurt us a little bit. And that's okay. How about this? We believe in evangelism and missions. Why do we believe in that? Someone tell me, why do we believe in evangelism and missions? What was that? Who said that? It's in the Bible. Go ye into all the world, right? We believe in that. That's important. But might I say this? You'll never go ye into all the world if you won't deal with your own heart and your own stuff. You can't go into the world if you've never been changed, right? How about this? We believe in the priesthood of the believer. This means that we believe the Bible teaches that as believers, we can go to the throne of God on our own behalf. But it also means that we can make choices. Pastor Clear is not a dictator from the pulpit. And you got to be thankful for that. He's practicing a major doctrine, the priesthood of the believer. See, those things, what I'm trying to tell you is we need to be teaching people this stuff. And so when they are struggling in their life, they're not so quick to run to the world or not so quick to be deceived because we're giving them a good foundation. And what I'm saying simply to the church tonight is this. We have a good thing that's happening in our church. But the devil's right there and he wants to snatch it. And you and I need not to be naive and not think that the world out there does not care about us. At all. But you and I as believers, we need to just get serious about God. When we come to church, let's be serious about what we're doing. We don't just have the choir up here just to sing a song to make us feel happy. No, the choir is a part of the message that we're trying to preach. And the pastor doesn't get up here just because you pay him. He gets up here to teach the word to you every week, to help you go out and do something for the kingdom of God. Guys, let's get unified as a church. Let's get on fire for God. Let's realize that God's trying to do something big. We've hired a few different staff members, some guys that will be coming on staff here and working on pastoral staff, some other things like that. God's doing some different things throughout our church where our school's growing, all these things are happening. That's all great. But you better believe the devil's waiting to knock us down. So I just say to you, church, we're living in perilous times, but we can make it. We just got to get that focus. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Lord.